Good afternoon and welcome everyone. Today is Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. It is 1:06 p.m., convening for the legal counsel update. A short agenda, so we'll be done hopefully soon. We're going to go into executive session following review of number one, draft resolution number 2017-043 in the matter of fair housing in Josephine County. Item number two is matters from commissioners. Commissioner DeYoung is not here. He's in Salem-ish somewhere. Not here. So item number one, draft resolution. Standard thing, fairly. Isn't there a allocation of CBDG on for fair housing elements? In the last allocation, we used it for Jackson County Housing Authority to do that development over off of Fruitdale, at least start that or spur on. Do they have a proposal for this time? Or are they not interested in?
They're not interested.
They're not interested. Yeah, come on up, Arthur.
In regards to Jackson County Housing and the housing repair program, they're not interested. Since Grants Pass became an entitlement city, they basically took half of the grant for just Grants Pass itself, and they're managing it. So Jackson County only has half of what they used to have, which is $200,000. $400,000 total. They only have $200,000 available, and from their point of view, they cannot make the grant successful for Josephine County, particularly because all the urban sites are gone, and they can only outreach to rural areas. So
it's not only less money, but the areas that they could service are more challenging.
Yes.
To kind of get
wider spread, further apart, yeah.
Oversee and get contractors to
take basically half a day to run out to a place out in O'Brien. You know,
if you can get anybody to respond to these $5,000 projects.
They had about a quarter of their projects were in the rural areas, and about three quarters of the projects were in Grants Pass proper.
Yeah.
So from their point of view, Grants Pass shot themselves in the foot by taking half the grant to do where they used to get $300,000, three quarters of the grant. Now they're only getting $200,000. But they control it.
So what is our plan for facilitating this?
Well, what's on the agenda now with legal is the fair housing resolution that needs to be published in order for us to make our first draw on the Food and Friends CDBG.
Oh, of course.
So this is a standard template, and I don't want to steal your thunder here, but it's a standard template.
Yep.
Federal provides, and HUD provides, and this is what you need to publish something like this, and legal has taken that and adapted it to Josephine County. Last time we published was back in 2014. So, but the rules require that within 6 months of your first draw for this new CDBG, you have to publish the resolution. So,
okay.
Pretty standard.
Sounds good. Any thoughts, input, questions?
No, I know we have to, I have been trying to think of what we could do to, I mean, would it be beneficial for us to try to advocate at the state level that they reduce some of the restrictions on more than one unit on rural residential properties, you know, allowing tiny homes. That's kind of the new trend to allow a second dwelling, you know, if it's up to code. Would that help alleviate some of the housing issues that we're having? If regional solutions, or one thing came to mind is if the county has any pieces of property that aren't timber or mineral rich, that would it be appropriate to see if it could be a multi-housing dwelling or something like that if housing is such an issue? But otherwise, for this, it's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
But that's where all my mind went. All those other things are sorry.
That's tangential. Thank you so much. We'll move it forward.
Okay, sounds good. So HR does have an issue that emerged today, but we deemed it necessary to come before the board today. So really unique set of circumstances.
It's not a big deal. So we have a policy that if an employee is on FMLA leave, and they have run out of PTO, they can request for hardship donations, and if people donate, they can be covered fiscally. We don't allow, however, people who are on intermittent leave to take advantage of that. And the reason for that is intermittent leave is really a big hassle to administer, and we don't want to make it easier for people to basically work the system.
It's hard for the program, too. I mean, people's jobs need to get done.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a person can be gone for FMLA, you can plan for that in entire, you know, division of duties,
whatever.
But when it's here, there, how do you plan for that? And it's, you're either important to the program or you're not.
Yeah, so, I mean, their position is still protected, and we can't issue corrective action for intermittent leave. It's protected leave, but it's, we're not going to have a system in place to encourage it.
Right.
So what I'm requesting today, there's a situation that came up. You have an employee who has had a, you know, a history of a number of minor events that have depleted their bank. They've had a family member that has had a fairly serious medical condition that they're going to need to help support them over the next few weeks. But they're a very important cog in the department, and so they would like to be able to take intermittent leave, and they are eligible for it, but fiscally they don't think they can because they don't have enough in their banks. If we allowed them to request hardship leave and made a short-term exemption to our policy, then it would allow them to take intermittent leave, still be able to be there for the department over the next couple of weeks while still supporting their family member. So I would recommend doing that. I don't like to have this be a standard practice, so I'd like it to be kind of a very rare occurrence, but it would be a short-term exemption to our policy. So there's no legal implication, there's no legal obligation to even offer this program. It's just something the county has done for years because it is a benefit to our employees.
Commissioner Morgan?
If the family member has the intermittent leave is something that they're legally protected by with FMLA, so we have to allow it anyhow. I don't have a problem giving the allowance. I'm not as anti an intermittent leave if there's a justification or something that the department can try to work around. So I don't have a problem with that. I think that sometimes there's things that come up that you've invested enough in the employee that it'd be worth allowing that leave to have them come back versus losing them permanently and starting from scratch. So I don't think I would necessarily have the same.
So it's not the intermittent leave we're debating. It's the idea of making it available for people to contribute to the intermittent leave because they're not conforming with a FMLA or a PTO is not longer.
Yeah, we only allow the bank hardship donation in block FMLA events. We don't allow it in intermittent leave. So what I'm requesting is the board to make a short-term exemption to that practice, to where we will, for this employee, for a short duration, we will allow a hardship donation, even though, because what the employee will probably do is just go on a block. They would qualify. They could just stay at home with their family member for the next few weeks, and then the department just would lose them completely for the next 3 weeks or 2 weeks or however long it would be, where they would like the option of being able to work, you know, part-time, go home, take care of the person, come back, work some in an intermittent fashion.
So what's the recommendation from the program?
That's what the program would like the ability to do. They came and asked me, you know, what are our options? And I said, well, the policy is this, but the board could grant an exemption to the policy and allow, in this case, hardship donations for an intermittent leave.
So being the curator for the county, the first priority is the program. Second is the employee that makes the program work. So if the program is fine with saying it's better for us to not have to replace this person for 3-4 weeks or whatever, if they're in there doing it as much as they can, everybody else will pick up the slack. That's the basis for my saying, sure, the exemption's justified. But my challenge is that there's stuff that comes up, and it's almost like you're saving for that challenging situation. PTO is kind of that same deal, that we're not even halfway through our year yet. You know, when does that PTO change over? And, you know, it's accrued over time, but most people have like a reserve and that can be utilized for those. That's what PTO is for. It's not, you don't have sick leave and vacation anymore. I don't care why you're not here. It's paid time off. And it should be a reserve for that. Is this a new employee or an...
No, it's a long-term employee.
So that's my challenge. It's not your first. you can see it when people come on board and they're like, well, they didn't accrue any. They just got here. They're a year or whatever in. But when you've been here for a little while, that's your responsibility to manage your time off. So I don't want to be a hard on this, but to a degree, my first answer was no. You need to do what you need to do. The system is established to facilitate this, or it isn't, you know. And there's PTO, and then there's FMLA. PTO is for the intermittent time that you need off, regardless of why. So that's just my philosophical, so that everybody knows where I'm coming from.
Sure.
This is not something I would be inclined to do on a regular...
Well, I would say on a normal basis, there's a reason we only put it in block. It helps to manage. But ultimately, the whole program, donations are for those people who either are new or they're not even that new, because you don't qualify for OFLA until you've been with someone for 6 months.
Right.
But it's for people who maybe they've had multiple events in the last few years, or maybe they don't do a good job of managing their time and they've used too much. So sometimes I don't have a ton of sympathy because manage your time.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's people who have had, you know, they had an event last year that used up a bunch of their time, and then they haven't built it back up.
Yep, I understand that.
Or people who have, you know, chronically sick family members, or so there are occasions where people have legitimate reasons why they've burned up their banks.
Okay, well, that's my position. Where was yours?
I'm okay with it.
Okay. So for how long?
Probably like, I would say a 1 month exemption to our policy would be fine.
No, I mean, it has to be at a point where you're not catching up to what they would normally take with an FMLA. You know, because at some point, it needs to be defined that the manager understands what the ask is going to be. What's the ramifications if there is nobody who's willing to grant? FMLA is...
Well, if no one's willing to grant, then their options are come to work or you don't get paid.
Right, you know? Or take FMLA.
Yeah. Well, FMLA is all FMLA means is not FMLA isn't guaranteed paid. It's just protected leave. So we can't fire you because you took off.
Right.
If you have PTO,
they'd be
on
eligible
the books,
for the loans under the block.
If people want to donate, and typically there's a handful of folks who do. When we put it out, you know, HR sends an email to all and says, you know, if you're interested in donating, whatever.
Okay. Great. Sounds good.
Right.
Anything else for the board?
That's
I was interested in if we'd heard anything. From our letter to Paradise Ranch, we gave them January 12th, if I remember. There's another element of the $90,000, which was $60,000, $1,000 a month. Is that
that's been approved?
Confidential. Mm-hmm. So we've granted them the 3-year extension at 6% interest.
Yes.
To do that. Okay.
That
I
has.
Wasn't sure where we were on that, but it does ring a bell that we. This saga just goes on and on.
Yes.
So where everything is tough to remember.
Yes,
I just can't believe I've 6%, $1,000 a month, $60,000 outstanding balance.
I can't.
I know where the money is, where our money is.
Yes.
Okay. We haven't heard a response from them on our letter.
We have actually. It's not overly urgent. I can put it on for next week.
That's
fine. Let's plan for that. Okay.
Doesn't have to happen today. I just
stop in my office.
Kind of. Yeah. That's what I'll do.
But
just an update. You know, it's
sure.
One of those things that we've sent that out there, and I was hoping that there had been some response.
Yeah, they acknowledged receipt, put in public records requests, as did actually Washington Federal.
Okay.
Has put in an extensive public records request. Fortunately, the records all seem to have been scanned in pursuant to Planning's, you know, program to get all the records electronic to go fully paperless. So I haven't plowed through them all yet, but it sounds like.
Okay.
So
cool.
That's going to be pretty.
That's encouraging.
So we, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to number 3 without objection. So at 1:20, the board will go into an executive session. No decision may be made for the provision of disposition of county real properties, main library and branch libraries under ORS 192.6602E. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, we will open the doors and welcome the audience back into the room. And the recorder will now be turned off. We're back in public session at 1:32. The direction of the board, as I understand it, is to proceed with the process of disposition of county assets to the district, the library district, And I don't want to say it's limited to this because there's the collection, there's a renewal of the lease or a creation of a new lease with the district for the main branch, the disposition of the property in the Illinois Valley building collection and real property, and then the building in the Williams area in conjunction with the Three Rivers School District and facilitating that. So we need to terminate the grant agreement with the JCLI for the Wolf Creek, as I understand. So those are the, but not limited to, proposed direction from the county to proceed, basically with the request of the newly formed district.
Okay.
Any addition, objection, clarification, Commissioner Morgan?
No, for me, my biggest concern on the wait last week was making sure we go through the proper procedure and do it right. So
absolutely.
I appreciate it. I think giving the clarity to legal about priority is a good thing too. So
the board's expectation is that this could be completed, so new lease agreements would be drafted and signed and authorized for January 2018. So, and it wouldn't be the first time that we'd have a lease agreement that was backdated, but ideally
yes.
It would be nice to have it signed and effective on the first of the year.
Okay.
Anything else for the board, for legal? I think we're good to go. Nothing further, the board is adjourned at 1:34.